John chapter 18, beginning with verse 28. And we'll read just verses 28 and 29. Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And it was early. And they themselves went not into the judgment hall, lest they should be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. Pilate then went out unto them and said, What accusation bring ye against this man? So our message this morning is entitled, Jesus and Pilate. I want us to consider two questions. What do you think of Pilate? And what do you think of Christ? Now, our text, if you read it carefully, clearly comes in the middle of a story. It begins, then they led Jesus from Caiaphas. What is the then and who are the they? But there's enough information in John's account to set the context for us. Now, John tells us that, the King James tells us that they led Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. But that phrase, hall of judgment, is an interpretation rather than a translation. Jesus was led into the praetorium. That is the literal reading. And the praetorium was the residence of the provincial procurator or governor, to use the modern term. So this is where Pilate lived when he was in Jerusalem. And they led Jesus from Caiaphas, that is, from the Jews, unto the residence of Pilate. In gospel preaching, the burning question is, what do you think of Jesus Christ? Because that is where the gospel is. Who is Jesus Christ? But this morning, I want to ask, first of all, though, what do you think of Pilate? He is infamous in history and, of course, in Christendom. Our creeds declare that our Lord suffered under Pontius Pilate. And you'd probably know that he asked our Lord, what is truth? Perhaps a cynical question, but certainly a question that would paint him as a relativist. But we're not here to speak about philosophy. We're here to look at the Word of God, in our case, in its historical context. But let's consider very briefly, what do you think of Pilate? Now, first of all, virtually everything we know about him must be inferred from the Gospels, because that is where most of the information exists. There's one reference to him in the secular historical record, but it is very, very brief. All it says is that our Lord was crucified under Pontius Pilate. And so we know that. So everything we can learn from him must be inferred from the Gospels. But in thinking that he was the governor who, humanly speaking, could have saved our Lord, he didn't believe that our Lord was guilty. He didn't think the Jews had a case against him. Yet he acquiesced to them, and he had our Lord crucified. Does that make him a wimp? In your mind, does that make him very weak? I mean, do you think he was a jerk for crucifying an innocent man? Do you despise his very name? Well, I want us to consider something. He was the procurator of Judah for 10 years. The average tenure was 4 to 5 years for that region. He was the 6th governor to rule in Judea. So he must have had some kind of competence or skill to last that long. What I learned in business, even though I'm not really a businessman, is that a company rarely lasts 10 years. And if a company does last 10 years, then they're probably a pretty solid company and they may last for 20. But 10 years is a good mark for a good company. And I'm not really saying that Pilate was a good governor, at least from a Christian point of view, but he did last 10 years. As the governor, he reported to the emperor of the whole Roman Empire. He reported to Tiberius. He may not have been Ivy League. After all, Judea was not the most sought-after assignment. Yet here he was, a Roman governor, living in luxury. So don't think that he was a loser. He wasn't. He was a high-ranking Roman ruler, Roman governor. Yes, he reported to someone else, but he held a high position in the Roman government. He was not a loser. He was a sinner, to be sure, and he was not a strong man, but he was strong enough to hold a high position. Now, as a judge, hearing the case of the Jews v. Jesus of Nazareth, clearly he could have declared a mistrial. He knew that the Jews had misused their power to bring our Lord before the Roman court, before Pilate. He knew that they were envious. Pilate knew that they had broken their own rules, yet he let the trial go on. And I would say that after the stress of monitoring all of the activities and crowds of the Passover celebration, because remember, why was Pilate there? The Roman governors presided in Caesarea. And the better way to say that would be Caesarea, because that town was named after the Caesars. And there was a great palace there, and that's where Pilate lived normally. But during the Passover, because the Jews were so passionate about their religion that things could get out of hand, and things had gone out of hand in the past, that Pilate would come down to Jerusalem and reside there during this time. So it was not a holiday for him. The Jews were celebrating. All the Jews from all over came, and it was a huge celebration. There was a lot of activity. Kind of like what London would be like now with the Olympics. You know, it was a big deal, but it was a place where trouble could happen. So Pilate had to be there. So it wasn't fun for him. But you would think that after the Passover was over, after all the activities had abated and the crowds of the Passover had gone back home, after they had cleaned up all the trash, removed all the tents, and it was quiet again, maybe Pilate thought to himself, my involvement in the trial of this Jesus of Nazareth was not my finest moment. He might have thought that, and rightly so. The whole affair was a travesty of justice. What does our text tell us? Then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment, and it was early. That is a major clue. The text says it was early in the morning, about daybreak. So they're leading him from Caiaphas to the praetorium at the break of dawn, or very soon after. It was early in the morning. What does that mean? It means that our Lord had been under arrest the whole night. And we know from the other accounts of the gospel that he had been interrogated and tried throughout the evening. He had been detained at the residence of the high priest all night. Why is this a travesty of justice? Well, first of all, Annas, the de facto high priest, had examined him. Then Caiaphas, the de jure high priest, had a crack at him. Now, some of you may remember the movie Braveheart, where there was a prince named Robert the Bruce. His father was a leper and living out of the public eye. Yet, behind the scenes, he was able to wield tremendous power, even behind his son's back. His son was a prince who had influence, yet in the background, the father still had this power and he wielded it. That was Annas. Now, not the leper part, maybe not even the behind the scenes part, but as far as having the true power base, or let's say, not really relinquishing the power base, that was Annas. That's why they took our Lord to Annas first. So then Caiaphas tried to come up with charges against him, and finally, the Sanhedrin council had tried him the very first thing in the morning. So why is it important that they took him to the praetorium early in the morning? Because they had done their work at night. And even according to their law, that was not legal. They had tried our Lord, they had trumped up charges, and in the morning, when it was legal, they took him to the Sanhedrin and charged him with blasphemy. They needed a capital offense, they came up with one, and now they're able to wake up Pilate, and they take our Lord to his house for judgment by the Roman government. And not only was it unlawful for the Sanhedrin to meet for business at night, it was not standard practice for the Jews to adjudicate a capital case beginning with the reasons for conviction. It turned out that Annas and Caiaphas did not have any evidence for a conviction. They had to fabricate a case against our Lord, and it took them all night to come up with a plausible charge. They were looking for reasons for a conviction in a capital case. According to Jewish law, that was improper. They were supposed to look for reasons for acquittal. They were supposed to look out for true justice for the convicted or for the accused. If you were accused of a capital crime, they owed it to you to look for a way to find that you were not guilty. That is not what Annas and Caiaphas did. They were looking for ways to convict him. They were not following their standard operating procedure. And not only so, they usually would convict somebody, let's say they found them guilty, but they would not deem them guilty until the next day. It was kind of like a cooling off period. They had all night to think about the conviction before they brought down the hammer and said, guilty. That's why, remember, their Sabbath was Saturday, so they wouldn't have a trial on a Friday because they couldn't declare the conviction until the next day, but that was the Sabbath. They couldn't do anything. So they wouldn't have a trial on a Friday, nor would they have it on the eve of a festival. But guess what? That's exactly what they did in the case of our Lord. That's exactly what they did. They made an exception for the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's the Jews. But what of Pilate? Now, our Lord is brought before Pilate and left there alone. Why is that? In other words, our Lord had been surrounded by the Jews all night. He had gone to the Sanhedrin. They found him guilty, and they pushed him into the Hall of Judgment. They pushed him into the Praetorium, or they had maybe the guards escort him, but they stayed outside. They did not want to defile themselves by entering the house of a Gentile. So, of course, as a Roman citizen and as the governor, Pilate was all Gentile, and he was all Roman, through and through. You see, I mean, Pilate There was no love lost between Pilate and the Jews. So our Lord is there in front of Pilate, and the Jews are outside. You know, they can't defile themselves. They can break all the rules to convict our Lord falsely, but no, they can't go into the praetorium. When Pilate sees our Lord's face, he does not see the face of a criminal. But Pilate sees a man who had been beaten. Luke, with his eye for detail, makes it clear that our Lord took a beating when he was continually struck by the guards who were watching over him during the night. You will recall that they had blindfolded him and they were hitting him to see if he could identify who hit him. He had been arrested and they had to keep him until dawn. So, to the Roman guards, this was a criminal who was 24 hours away from being executed. His life was nothing, number one. Number two, he was a Jew. And number three, they were soldiers. They were hard men. So what are they going to do between 3 in the morning and 6 in the morning? Just sit there and watch him? No, they're going to have their fun. So they blindfold him. And Luke uses the present participle. They continually entertain themselves by hitting him and asking him, come on, prophesy, who hit you? Who hit you? For 3 hours, they were hitting him. He literally took a beating. And it showed. Pilate is looking at him, and he does not see a criminal. He just sees a man who's beat up. Our Lord had been remanded into the custody of the guards for three reasons. First, it was not yet daylight. Second, a capital offense had to be adjudicated by the full session of the Sanhedrin. A non-capital case could be handled by three. A capital offense needed, I believe, 24 plus three. Third, the execution had to be ordered and carried out by the Roman government, represented, of course, by Pilate. So our Lord was not in really good shape as he stands before Pilate early on this Friday morning. And Pilate really does not understand why he is there. So because the Jews would not enter the residence of Pilate, he had to go out to them. So he's inside with our Lord. He sees him. He doesn't really understand why he's having to try our Lord. So he gets up. He goes out to the balcony so he can address the Jews who would not come in. He went outside to them and said, according to verse 29, "What accusation do you bring against this man? You want to unload a charge upon this man? Well, what is it?" You see, to Pilate, it was as clear as mud. And they answered him. Verse 30. "If this one was not a malefactor, then we would not have delivered him." So what are they saying? This is their argument. There are a few men who are dedicated to doing good. They do good for the betterment of someone or of some cause. Well, they say, this one is not one of those. This one does bad things. For malefactor is the Latin word for the same Greek term that John uses. This one was always up to no good. That is why he stands before you. That is what they're telling Pilate. So Pilate reasons, well, if the Jews are judging him as being a bad man, then they must have judged him according to their law. And that has nothing to do with Roman law, and that has nothing to do with me. That's Pilate's thinking. So Pilate's answer to them is, okay, so you take him and judge him according to your law. See, he's a little bit upset because they're not being reasonable, and they got him up at 7 in the morning for this. You take him, and according to your law, judge him. Well, of course, the Jews have an answer for that in verse 32. Well, we're not permitted to kill anyone. And they're right. They had no authority to execute capital punishment. So Pilate goes back into the palace, and he calls Jesus before him. This is according to John. And he asks him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Why would he ask him that? Well, evidently, the Jews had an answer for Pilate. They said, well, okay, if you really insist on knowing exactly what the charge is, this man says that he's a king. And he is against Caesar, and he's instigating the people against Caesar. Our Lord is being charged with sedition, exasperated by a claim to a kingship. They are taking offense, the Jews are, to our Lord's messiahship. So they know that the people want him as the Messiah, and they're misconstruing this office as a claim to the throne. But their ploy works, right? It's a big lie. There's nothing true about it. It's fabricated. There's no substance, really. But they put it in a way where now Pilate has to deal with the situation. They're saying, this is against your boss. Pilate is in charge of protecting the empire on behalf of the emperor. The Jews are saying that our Lord is working against him. Pilate has to deal with it. He doesn't like it, I don't think. The job of a governor is not easy, especially in Judea when dealing with the Jews. But he has to deal with it. So he asks him, well then, are you the King of the Jews? Now, our Lord must explain himself. He has to answer in such a way that he's not claiming to be a political king, because he isn't. He knows that in Pilate's mind, there's only one kind of king, and that's a secular king. So he cannot just say, yes, I'm King of the Jews. But he is the Messiah, and we know that he is the king of a spiritual kingdom. So he can answer yes, but then Pilate won't understand that. So our Lord is going to put Pilate on the spot. He's going to ask Pilate, are you analyzing the situation and that's why you're asking me if I'm the king? Or did someone just tell you that I'm the king? Verse 34. Jesus answered him, sayest thou this thing of yourself, or did others tell it thee of me? In other words, he's trying to see what does Pilate really understand about this. Well, Pilate is upset. He goes, well, am I a Jew? He doesn't really care about whether he's king of the Jews. All he knows is thine own nation and the chief priests have delivered you unto me. What have you done? Your own people and the leadership of your people have delivered you to me. What have you done? Why are you here? So our Lord has to explain the nature of his kingdom. My kingdom, he says, is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from here. Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king then? Jesus answered, Well, you say that I'm a king. In other words, those are your words. To this end, though, was I born, and for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate says to him, What is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again unto the Jews and said unto them, I find in him no fault. Now, first of all, Pilate will realize that indeed our Lord was arrested without a fight. And he knows that this was unusual for rebels. Right? He had dealings with rebels, and his predecessors had. A guy would rise up, he would agitate the people, and he would attack some Roman stronghold. And he would have to be put down, and it would not go peaceably. There would be a fight. Of course, they would lose. The Romans would win, and they would arrest the man, and they would kill him. That happened a lot. That's why it was hard to govern in Judea. There was always this unrest. And we don't have time to go into all that. I've mentioned it before. But Pilate would realize that. It turned out that he probably had to authorize the use of the Roman guard to go arrest our Lord. So he knew they were going to go arrest him. They arrested him, and the report must have come back, hey, this guy's under arrest. There was no problem. We're back inside the barracks. So he knew there were no problems. And so he understands our Lord when our Lord says, my kingdom's not of this world. Otherwise, my servants would have fought for me. That made sense to Pilate. Secondly, he probably noticed that our Lord talks about having servants. Now, it turns out that this would resonate with Pilate. Why is that? Because Pilate himself knew that he was a personal servant to the emperor, to Tiberius. He himself was a servant. He knew that Tiberius had servants. They were high ranking, they were powerful, yet they were servants to the emperor. And our Lord is saying, as a king, I have servants too. But because they're not of this world, we didn't fight. See, Lord, the Pilate would understand that. Thirdly, our Lord admits that there is a kingdom, but it is not of this world. And it is his kingdom. Well, then that would make him a king. How can you have a kingdom if you're not a king? And they go together. That's why, after hearing this, Pilate would say, well, are you a king then? Now, our Lord is careful. He says, well, those are your words. He goes, you say that I'm a king. He knows that you got to be careful about this, because there really is only one king. That's the emperor Tiberius, the Caesar. But he says, to this end was I born. For this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth. Everyone that is of the truth hears my voice. And that's why Pilate says, well, what is truth? And why is that? It's because he realizes that this is not a political issue. What does Pilate care about? He cares about the political situation as far as Tiberius is concerned. Pilate is a secular governor. He's a politician. He's a ruler. What our Lord is talking about is truth. Pilate has no time or interest for this idea of truth. That is why he sees this doesn't concern him. That's why he says, what is truth? I don't care. And he goes back out to them. Because the text says as soon as he realizes that this is not a political issue about a king or sedition, he goes out to the Jews and he tells them, I don't find any fault with this man. But what is the issue of truth? Is not Jesus Christ talking about himself? Isn't the truth that Jesus Christ is the God-man, that he is God himself incarnate? This is close to John's heart. That's why he brings it out. For the law was given by Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. The law through Moses was given, grace and truth through Jesus Christ became. What did Jesus say to Thomas? I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Was this not Thomas the future doubter? Is not Pilate in a worse situation, being ignorant of the doctrine and the disciples of our Lord? So what think you ye of Pilate? He's not the devil. Was he somewhat of a weak man? Maybe, maybe not. You see, once the Jews started claiming that this involves Tiberius, Pilate was very careful. He did not want to have something happen where he had to tell Tiberius, oh, I'm sorry, man, things got out of hand. So instead of fighting to save the life of our Lord, he acquiesced to their, you know that they were stubborn. They were getting out of control. Remember, they were yelling, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. Things were going to get out of control. Pilate said, you know what? It's not worth it. And he said, yes, I'll have him executed. We know that. So I'm not saying Pilate was a great man by any stretch of the imagination. In fact, later on, he'll lose his job being accused of cruelty and extortion. Yet, he dealt, I think, the best he could with the situation. But more importantly, of course, what think ye of Christ? Our Lord was born. Why was he born? Because he chose to leave his throne in heaven to come down to earth and become the God-man. He came into the world to bear witness to the truth, and everyone that is of the truth hears his voice. Jesus Christ is the truth. My question to you then is, are you of the truth? That is, do you belong to him? The ones being of the truth, they are the ones who hear my voice. What is truth? Jesus Christ is the truth. Why did he come and become the God-man? To save sinners. That is the truth. That God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that every single one exercising faith in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That is the truth. What think ye of Christ? Is he your Savior? Is he your Lord? Do you hear his voice? Pilate was not of the truth. Many of those Jews were not of the truth. But are you of the truth? Flee to Christ. Believe in him. Let's pray. Lord, I trust that we have a little better understanding of our Lord and Pilate and the situation that they were in, being instigated by the hatred and envy of the Jews. Lord, we pray that you would open up your word and that we would contemplate it, that we would not just look at the surface of the text, but we would think about the characters involved, that this is your word and your truth. Our Lord Jesus Christ was a real man. He lived on this earth as the God-man. Pilate was a real governor. Annas and Caiaphas were real high priests. Enable us, Lord, to understand your word in truth. Be gracious unto us in this, we ask through Jesus Christ. Amen.